your labor. And our prayer, I think all of our prayers, is that we will leave this property and leave the desert here different than we came. So we talked about on the first night, on Thursday night, that we would all grow. And Mr. Sam said it this way, take that next step. And so I hope that all of us will do that. I've enjoyed being here with you. So thank you to the Ironwood staff. But I also want to say thank you to each one of you that made an investment in your marriage and in your family, an investment of time. I know there were details to get. Folks had to take time off work and line up babysitters for some and cover other duties, maybe at the church or wherever it is that your responsibilities are, and make the drive. A good number of you are from Northern California. You drove 6 or 7 hours to get down here. And so an investment of time, an investment of money to be here. And I pray that the Lord has used it to be a help and a strength in your lives. And it's been a blessing for my wife, for Tiffany and me, to be here with you. And I pray that God's word, something throughout the four sessions where we've been, from Ephesians there, the goal of one flesh, a marriage that lasts, some thoughts on a marriage that lasts there from Ephesians, or characteristics of a good home, or how a good home goes bad, or last night, yesterday afternoon, diffusing the conflicts of life. I pray that there were some things that maybe you saw, maybe a new and a maybe new that you hadn't quite seen in that way before, or just a reminder that we kind of let. I've found for me in my Christian life, very often it's not the things that I don't know that are the biggest struggles. It's the things that I know, but I've stopped doing, or I failed to do, or I've forgotten. You know, I've just kind of let it slip and let it slide. And if you've been saved for any length of time, I don't know that I brought out any revolutionary thoughts from God's word, but I pray that there were some, maybe some reminders and some reset buttons in our relationships that will bear fruit for God's glory in our relationships for the weeks, the months, the years to follow. And any of you, you made it to the Soldier Mountain hike this morning? Let me see. You did a good number of you. And how many made it to the top? You made it all the way up there. How long is the Soldier Mountain hike from start to finish to get back down? How long did it take? Too long? 2 hours? 2 hours up and back? It seems like that time is a little shorter when I'm here at team camp. I'm not sure what that might say. It seems like it doesn't take them 2 hours. It takes us a little longer the more mature we get in life, right? I won't use the word older, but Soldier Mountain hike. How many of you thought about Soldier Mountain hike, but sleep just sounded too good, and so you stayed in? That's my wife and I. Our hands are up with you. Man, I bet that would be beautiful. I bet I would feel reinvigorated. And I'll turn over and go back to bed here. And so that's what we did this morning. But that banquet was great last night, wasn't it? Those that have been here before, I guess you're familiar with that. But what an awesome time. They did a great job, and the food was delicious. And then the skits, I've seen them do some skits for the teen camp program. And they're creative. They're always funny. They do a great job. And I just enjoyed the time up here. It's hard to believe it's only been, I guess, about 36 hours from when we got started. It seems like we've done a whole lot of in that time, but what a blessing. And this last session, when they had reached out, they said four kind of Bible sessions or lessons and one workshop or something that might be just a little more interactive, or they say you can do it. If you just want to teach another session, you can. And so what I have, I didn't know exactly what I would do. I was praying about a few things. There is a blank page of notes that has a title. We're not going to teach that session about avoiding life-altering mistakes. That's from the life of David and Bathsheba. We won't be teaching that. I'm going to give really what I'm going to do this morning. I figured we've been together. You've heard a lot of information on this last morning. Those the Soldier Mountain hike, you might be a little bit sore, the horse riding sore and tired this morning. I'm not going to overload you with a 45-minute Bible lesson or session. What I'm going to do this morning is show you a pretty practical illustration that I saw recently that was a good visual illustration for me. And then I'm going to ask you to think through some things about how do we remedy that, and then we're going to have feedback. We're going to share that with one another, writing down the thoughts from each other, and then spend a few minutes as a couple, kind of what I would call action items, what we talked about on that first night, looking at those things and what would be the ones that apply to my life, and then we're going to close with a word of prayer as couples, spend just a season of prayer together over what we've learned, some time to kind of reflect on what we've heard over the last four sessions, and this morning what we'll hear, reflect on that, pray about it, and hopefully leave with with what we talked about on Thursday, one, two, or three specific things that we will do differently. So I'm going to give you, and I feel badly after that, Mr. Mark, it was a moving about the heart of campus to hear the word of God. And I'm like, we're not going to do that this morning. So we sang that great song, and so we've hopefully heard the word of God on Thursday and Friday. This morning's going to be a practical, I guess, workshop, whatever you want to call that. So Tiffany, if you'll come on up here and help me with this illustration, I saw this I thought it was a good illustration. But marriage, our relationships, husband and wife, are where it starts at dating. And I don't know everybody's story and how long you've been married and how you met and where it started. For you, for us, we told a little bit of that story. First time that I would have met her, I guess I was probably in fifth grade. She was in fourth grade, and we've known each other since. So we've known each other since she was, I guess, 8 or 9, and I was 9 or 10, and we've been in the same church all the way through there. We're in the same church I was there for 27 years. She was there up until we moved 4 years ago. I won't tell you how long that was, because then you can do the math of how old she is, and you're not supposed to do that to your wife, right? And my mom's there, her parents are there, our entire extended family is there. I mean, that was home, that was family, and we knew each other as elementary students, junior high students, high school students, college students, and then we got married right out of college. But marriage or dating, a relationship, it starts like this. It starts face to face. And you are learning about that person. You're dating. You can't wait to get to know more. You can't wait until the next time you see them. And if you dated in the age of cell phones and text messaging, there's text messaging. I can't wait to see you. If not, if you were with pagers, then you might have had the code, you know. You page them with 143, and that's your code. I love you. And it's... And if you dated in the day of fax machines, maybe you sent a fax over. If it was telegrams, you know, you sent a, I don't know how far back we're going to go, but whatever, you know, yeah, you sent the Pony Express and they sent a letter. I cannot wait to see you, my darling Clementine, in 3 weeks from now, or whatever it was. But it's this, it's FaceTime. And you can look at any study will say that dating couples generally spend much more time in communication, face-to-face, talking to each other than married couples. And it's hours, and it's let's go out to eat, and let's go for a walk, and let's talk, and what do you like, and what's your favorite color, and tell me about your family, and we're wanting to learn everything about that person, right? And this is the dating relationship, and maybe the honeymoon, and maybe early on in marriage, it's face-to-face. It's my heart to her heart, her sharing me. And then somewhere along the way, and it may be a little different for every marriage, but there's the tendency that marriage, the relationship, it goes from this, let me share my heart with you, let you share your heart with me. It goes from face-to-face to, and we'll turn this way, to shoulder-to-shoulder. Now, it's not bad. We're in this thing together, and we're pointed in the same direction, but now life gets busy, and there's the responsibilities of life, and we're working together if God chooses to put children into the home to raise those kids, and it's, you know, you've got a newborn baby. It's all you can do. Just, we've got one not quite newborn, but you got the little one back there. It's all you can do to get whatever sleep you can and wake up 4 times a night. Okay, you take that feeding, and you do that, and we're shoulder to shoulder. And then I've got to get off to work, and maybe working a second job early in that marriage because we're trying to pay off a student loan, or we're trying to save up money for a down payment, and we're trying to get established. And this maybe isn't necessarily wrong, but the dynamic of the relationship has changed. And if we're not careful, this is not very prevalent any longer, this face-to-face, me and you, just us communicating, us talking, that time together is much, 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 much more limited. And it becomes, now we're working together. We're side by side. We're shoulder to shoulder. We're working with one another, and okay, you go pick up the dry cleaning, and I'll get the oil changed. You know, you run to Walmart, and I'll get to Costco, and okay, I need to pick that up over there. And oh, we've got to drop off. They've got the sports practice tonight, and if you're like our family, we have 5 in school this year: kindergarten, second grade, eighth grade, 10th grade, 12th grade. 3 of them are in school sports. Some of them are in some music things. They're in the church choir. They serve in nursery. They have youth group. I mean, with 5 of them right now, we're in the heart of it. And it's very easy for it to become this. But here's the problem. Too long of this without this, and before you know it, it's this. And now you're living your life, you're on your phone, she's on her phone. You're watching your show, she's watching her show. That whatever time you have when it's not this, it's just give me my own space. She's out with her friends, you're out with your friends. And if you're not careful, you're still married and you maybe aren't even necessarily opposed to one another, but you're pointed in different directions. And you stay there for very long and you're going to take some steps away from one another and that relationship grows cold and it grows distant. And you end up, what was right here, a very close, intimate, I can't wait to see her, I can't wait to spend time with her, let's go out to eat, what's your favorite restaurant, where do we want to go, oh, dating, I can't, this is the most wonderful thing in the world. And all of that very quickly becomes, we're business partners in Thompson LLC. We're side by side, shoulder to shoulder, running the organization of our home. And that very quickly turns to, now I'm just living my life and she's living her life. And maybe because it makes sense, we do it in the same house because it's helpful financially. And maybe there is still a love and but practically speaking, that there isn't this. There maybe is a little of this and there's a lot of this. And I'll let you be seated there, Tiff. And that's really the illustration. And here's the challenge. Here's the workshop portion of it. I want us to think and to talk maybe for 3, 4, 5 minutes, and then I'm going to have you give some feedback from that. And here's the question, and this is the workshop, very simple this morning, but here's the session. How do, if you're here, or if maybe you don't feel like you're here, you're here, what are some practical ways we get back either from this to this or from this back to this? What are some practical ways that I think, an event like this is a practical way that you set aside 48 hours that you went from shoulder to shoulder or even, and again, I'm not saying that you've turned your back on them. I'm just saying you're doing your thing and she's doing, anybody, am I the only one? Has any marriage ever been there where you're doing your thing and she's doing her thing? I mean, it happens, right? Where, and I had, when I took over the pastorate 4 years ago, I had a pastor tell me, make sure you bring your wife with you. Now, he wasn't saying literally in the moving van. That was going to happen no matter what. He was saying it's going to be easy, especially with the fact she's home with children, for me to go get focused on the church and meeting the new people and the ministry has grown and God has blessed. And it's going to be easy for my focus to be on my staff and our Christian school and our church ministry and these events and planning and all of this. And my wife is home with those children. And if I am not bringing that home and getting her involved and letting her know what's happening in my heart, like we talked about with Samson's parents, if I'm not letting her know what God's doing in my life and in our ministry and in my heart, very quickly we go from here to here to here. And so the thought is, no matter where you find yourself there, what are for you some really practical ways, some action items, not just, well, we you know, some nebulous thought, some specific action items. How do we go from this to something we can do on a regular basis that gets us back to this? Not just the annual couples retreat at Ironwood. And I'm glad if you come here every year or even 2 times a year. I think you do one in February as well. If you come to all 3 of them, that's great. But not just a 2-day event once a year to do this. What's a practical, maybe daily, maybe weekly, maybe monthly, maybe annually, some practical thoughts in your marriage. And I'm hoping that as we hear from others, it might spark some thoughts in our own lives of some things that we can do, maybe something that others have learned that they, not that they could be doing, but that they already do. This is what we do for this, and it might help us. And so that's the thought. You take 2, 3, 4 minutes, talk to your spouse face-to-face, and let's come up with a few items, and then we'll ask who wants to share those, all right? I'm going to write down a few myself. I guess I'll go sit by my wife and write down a few myself. We'll chat. What I'd like for us to do is maybe jot down what other ideas people give here, and then I'm going to, at the end of this, give us again another few minutes to maybe identify 2 or 3 specific action items from this list and or from the sessions you've heard the last few days. What I want is when we leave out of here, here are two or three specific, maybe one specific thing we're going to commit to try to do differently or to add to our family schedule as we leave. As I said before, we're about to hear probably, hopefully, maybe dozens of ideas. You're not going to implement dozens of new ideas into your daily or weekly schedule for any extended period of time. It's not going to happen. But you might, from this, make a commitment. We're going to start fill in the blank. And so what we're going to do here is listen to these things. And so if you want to maybe jot them down, and then at the end, review them, talk to your spouse for another 4 or 5 minutes. And then I want us just to close with a time of prayer with you and your spouse to ask God to help you to leave and to leave different than when you came, and for your marriage to be stronger because of a decision or two that you make here together. All right, who's first? You want to share what's a thought you came up with? What's a practical way if life has gotten you this way that you turn back this way? Yes, sir.
Date night.
Date night. I wrote that down as well. And what doesn't get scheduled doesn't get done. And so just what's that?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Go for a walk, something easy like that. Date night doesn't have to be Ruth's Chris Steakhouse. It can be just go and get a Slurpee and just that time together that you're getting FaceTime. And if you don't schedule it, the busyness of life will crowd it out. There's enough happening that, okay, I think I'll probably, you know, you've just like you put an appointment on your calendar to go to work and you have an appointment that you're going to be in church and there are blocks of time that are non-negotiables. Don't feel bad about making an appointment with your spouse. And if somebody else, oh, can you do this? Just like you would say, already, I've already committed to work from 8 to 5. No, I can't do that. I've already committed to my wife. I heard this story. I believe it may have been he was an old preacher. Some may have heard his name, John Rice. I believe this is who it was. I may have the name wrong of who it was. But an old preacher, that when he was raising his children, he had a commitment of either every day or every week, a certain time when he would spend time with his son. And somebody had asked him, I think it was Dr. Rice, Dr. Rice, can I meet with you on Saturday? And he said, no, I already have a very important commitment that I've made at that time. I can't meet you at that time. And as the story goes, that I was told, this person that asked for the commitment drove by John Rice's house and saw him out front in his front yard playing catch with his little son, with his child, son or daughter, I'm not sure, but playing ball, playing something in the front yard. And the man got angry. And he thought, he lied to me. He told me that he had an important appointment, important commitment that he couldn't meet me with. And I found him, he just wanted to be at home. He's just at home playing with his kid. And he confronted him on it. And he said, that was my important commitment. I had promised my child that I would spend time with them, and I'm not gonna take that away. In our lives, it's easy sometimes to view that, well, my wife's always going to be there, so I can put her off for something else. Set that schedule and make a commitment. Date night, good idea. Who else? Something else that you wrote down you want to share? Yes, sir.
Prayer, just time alone with your wife, prayer.
Yep. Yep, and that's an area that my wife has told me recently. We pray with our family every day, but she said we need to get back to couples prayer. And it's an area I'm a pastor in, and that's an area that we have not been real consistent in recently. We've been consistent in family prayer, but not couples prayer. It's interesting about prayer. You pray with someone and you pray for someone. God changes your heart toward that person. Prayer does change things because God hears and answers prayer. But prayer doesn't just change things. Prayer changes you when you pray. It's really hard to stay angry with somebody that you're pouring your heart out to God for or with. And prayer will change your heart and draw you closer together. Good. Family prayer. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, Skip, a king and queen, we tell each other, we should be glad we play, we're talking about, you know, our church, talking about family, talking about things, just different things, and the last thing we talk about is about, important to talk about God, and the last thing we talk about is ourselves and our needs, and then we pray together, we ask God, it's just a good good time. That's, to me, that's it's like a half date night every day. Mm.
How long have you guys been married?
46 years, 47.
And 46 years, that's to stay like this for 46 years takes a commitment like that of daily investment in the relationship. People say, well, you know, my marriage isn't what it used to be. My wife changed. My husband changed. We're supposed to change. I'm a different person than I was 19 and a half years ago when we got married. I hope I've grown. But my wife, some of the things that we like are different than what we liked when we were 20 and 21 when we got married. We all change, but we're supposed to change together and grow together. And the reality is, some of us are in seasons where something like that is not realistic. My wife and I aren't going to be able to sit down and play skip-bo every morning. That's not going to happen right now in this season of our lives. But that doesn't mean we can't find something like that. And he's a brave man. When my wife and I play skip-bo, it turns us more like this. But my wife loves skip-bo, but board games do not draw us closer together. I'm too competitive. But that every morning they have a time that's committed, and that's how you get to 46 years and you're at a couples retreat and still enjoying each other's company, is daily investment like that. Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that. And it's a great reminder, the things that we do when we're falling in love, we sometimes neglect after we've been married or been together for a while. And my wife and I, when we started falling asleep with her kneeing me in the back, and she still knees me in the back every night. And so I appreciate that. That's not true. Yes, sir.
But to make a concentrated effort, be consistent, and keep it going. Because I know we start something like that, we do a date night for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, and then we fall away.
Sure.
And so just to really concentrate on the consistency and the perseverance.
Mm-hmm. And forgive yourself when you mess up. Human nature is such, you can read the statistics on New Year's resolutions, some crazy number of them don't get kept. Why? Because we all want to stay perfect on a resolution, and the first time we fail, we chuck it. I'm going to read my Bible through it. I'm going to read my Bible every day this year. I miss a day, and so I decide I'm never read my Bible again. Well, no, you missed a day. It'd be better to read the Bible 300 days out of the year than none. So if you miss 65 days, that day you miss, read it the next day. You had a week, and it got busy, and you didn't have a date night, or you didn't go on a walk, or you had a morning you guys didn't pray together, or a night you didn't pray together. Don't give up on that. We're perfectionists, and we think if we can't do it perfectly, we're not going to do it at all. And that's ludicrous. There's no wisdom to that. It would be much better to do it regularly, even if not perfectly, than to say, because I can't do it perfectly, I'm not going to do it at all. And so forgive yourself when you mess up. You're not going to be perfect on any of these things, but do that. I wrote down a way to stay face-to-face is family meals. And again, life can get busy, but commit to that time that everybody gathers back. And this is, we're talking husband and wife, but also if God's given children, on a regular basis, multiple times per week, make the commitment to have a family meal in the home at your table, not at a restaurant, not with kids. You go to restaurants now, and you've got everybody on their own device at their family meal. Awesome. Like, you're not. Why are you here? They leave the house. The kids are watching TV at the house. They say, all right, kids, let's get in the car. They get in the car, watch a DVD player in the car. They get to the restaurant, pull their iPads out, and we wonder why we're so disconnected. And I'm not against every now and again with a little tiny kid, just for the sake of sanity, if you need to use if it's a long meal or something, you need to use a coloring sheet or whatever, or an iPhone app. But that shouldn't be if you have children, that shouldn't be the regular. No, get that face-to-face time, not just with spouse, but with those kids as well, in a family meal. And again, right now we're in a sports season with three kids in sports, so it's pretty intermittent. But for us, at least one or two on a bad week, and then on a good week, three or four nights, we're eating meals together. And that's our time as a family to reconnect. I forget who it was that said, but they said great children are raised around the family dinner table. That's something we've lost in America, getting the family back together. Let's hear about your day. And my father-in-law taught us one rule that they had in their home at family meals is nothing negative got brought up at the meal. You weren't allowed to tattle on your brother or sister who got in trouble at school. You weren't allowed to try to get them in trouble. We wanted that to be a time of openness where we were sharing what was good in our lives, and not where everybody's, the first time they get together, it's strife and it's tension. And that's not always been perfect. There have been times where some negative things have come up in our family meals, but we try to keep that as a time to be connecting. One thing my wife, this will sound, I guess, different as far as negative, but not it in the kids. She started, we would do with the kids from time to time at the mealtime. It's all right. Tell me your rose and your thorn. Tell me the best thing that happened to you today, and what was your thorn? And again, I think the kids understand it wouldn't be if there was some major, major, major deal. We would deal with that outside of the family meal. But it might be, well, my rose was, I got, you know, so-and-so gave me 10 bonus points on my test. I wasn't expecting it. It gave me a B instead of a C or whatever. My thorn was, I tripped and fell and you know, whatever. It's little things. But what it does is, one, it lets each person contribute to the conversation, and then it gives you stuff to talk about. Oh, tell me about that. What happened there? And then they'll often think, my rose was, this is my favorite meal. I love these tacos. My thorn, I hate sour cream. You know, it's stupid stuff sometimes, and other times but it just is a way to start conversation and to help things, help us connect. Who else? Yes. Communication, right? Communicating your appreciation. I wrote down text messages. We have the opportunity to communicate at our hands at all times. Every now and again, just communicate verbally in a written form. My wife will have sometimes a note waiting on the nightstand thanking me for something or letting me know what she appreciates. I'm not as good at it as she is. I should do better. But text messages, a note, verbally, regular. We did that when we were dating, didn't we? We did that when we were dating. Oh, I can't wait to see you. That was so good. Thanks for taking me out. Oh, we expressed all of that appreciation, but then somewhere we got to hear, and then if we're not careful, we get to hear. Somebody else, you want to share something? Yes. Mm-hmm.
It's kind of side by side, but then it's face to face.
Yeah.
We do children's ministry, and there's a lot of times we're looking at each other across the room, communicating.
Yeah.
Service,
this is an important thing that I try to teach our church. Service and family time is not an either or proposition. Sometimes we get these competing things and I get it that we need to make sure we do protect some time for our families and for our marriage. I get it that at times ministry for some people maybe can become a detriment to their family. I understand all of that. For the vast majority of Christians, that's not the case. The vast majority, they're not serving way too much and it's hurting their family. And sometimes it's this idea of, okay, I can serve God or I can have fun with my family. Okay, my family time is here and then I'll give God these hours. Okay, so that doesn't have to be that way. Serve the Lord together with your family. Enjoy those times together. Get involved in service together. And again, I do believe there's a time we talked about divert daily, withdraw weekly, abandon annually. I believe that there's a time that we get a break from serving. And if I think sometimes those in full-time ministry have to understand some of those dynamics as well. I get all of that. But I think we have done a disservice to ourselves in putting our lives in these boxes. Okay, I'll serve God over here. I'll spend time with my family over here. Sometimes you can do both of those, and it's some of the most joyful experiences you can have, is going out and telling people about Jesus, or serving at a VBS together, or in a children's ministry, or singing in choir together, whatever it might be. Serve the Lord together, and that helps you stay connected. Very good. Somebody else? Yes. That's great. A very good idea. And again, when you are working toward a goal with somebody, it draws you closer to them. And you're waxing that car. It gives you a chance to get mad at the other one. They missed a spot there and all of that stuff, right? That's a great idea. Yes, sir.
We are closer together when we both agree on the budget. We'll sit down and we write it down and we say, this is what we're going to spend, this is what we're going to do, this is the debt we're going to tackle.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. I can't explain it all, but there's a deep tie to our finances and our lives. I believe statistics show that in America, finances are the number one cause for divorce in America. That was definitely true several years ago. I haven't looked at any recent statistics in the last several years, but I know in the last decade that has been a true statistic, that finances the number one cause for divorce in America. And that sounds so simple, but if your finances are not being handled well in your marriage, it's creating a ton of tension, a ton of stress. You're getting mad because she came home from Target, and we don't have money for that ice cream, and you're fighting over $3 ice cream. And it doesn't have to be that way. And I would encourage you, whether it's a Christian finance book or a Christian, talk to your pastor on a course he might recommend. But for my wife and I, that was probably 7 years into marriage that we got a hold of our finances with some biblical principles through a Christian finance curriculum. And we started budgeting monthly together. And it totally took that, didn't take all tension or stress out of our marriage, but it took that tension and stress pretty much completely out of our marriage for now the last decade or so. Great, great thought there to stay connected. Make sure you're connected on the financial side. Who else? Any other thoughts you want to share? Yes. And so you have that thing that you're both excited about doing. And that's really good. Something that you're both excited about doing together keeps you from doing this. Yeah. I wrote down, how do you do this? Depending on the season of life, you're going to have to learn to say no to some activities. There are some things that we don't let our kids be involved in because we don't want every night, 12 months a year, to be spent sitting on bleachers next to each other watching kids. That can be some fun memories for families in moderation, but that shouldn't be 300 nights a year we're sitting on bleachers. So our family loves sports. Sorry, you're not going to be involved in that sport. No, we can't. My middle son, baseball's his favorite sport. He played 1 year when we got to Southern California. He played every year before that. But because of the school schedule, the ministry schedule, our family schedule, and my older son loves baseball as well, they haven't played baseball in 3 years. And, they're not going to Major League Baseball even if they had been playing. It's not. We get this idea in America, our kids have to do everything. They have to be involved in every sport, have an after-school tutor, ballet, dance, you know, whatever, computer, robotics, engineering, STEM, STEAM, science, Legos. They have to do all of these extracurricular things. And before we know it, we spent every waking moment in sports now. They're year-round, club teams. And again, you can decide what's best for your family. Before we know it, 18 years has gone, and we look back, we spent every dime we had and every minute we had to let them be involved in some extracurricular thing. And my kids are involved in extracurricular things, but I hope we have some balance and some wisdom with it. And we look back, and probably they're not going professional, most of them, in any of those things. And we miss so much of that time. To stay like this, you're going to have to say no to some activities. There's going to be some things you're going to have to say no to. I wrote down a walk. We already mentioned that. An annual family vacation we've mentioned. Something like this. A couple's retreat. What about read a book together? Read a book together. My wife's been, I'm not going to say bugging me, encouraging me to read a book that she bought with her. What's the name of that book? Couple After God's Own Heart. She wants to read it together at night. And I'll be frank, but we talk every night, but when the kids go to bed for a few minutes. But by the time we get upstairs where the bed is, I'm not in the mood of trying to read. I've been reading things all day long, so we're going to have to figure out a time where we both want to read. But as you're again, you're growing together in a hobby, you're growing together financially, you're growing together in your Bible study, spiritually, you're growing together with a book where you're all of these things are strands that are knitting your hearts together. Life, when you got married, nobody gets married and stands at the altar and says, I can't wait until he's living his separate life and I'm living my separate life. I can't wait till she leaves me or he leaves me. I can't wait till this thing is done. No one does that at the altar. Why? At the altar, the hearts have been knit so closely together, but life has a way of the daily pressures and burdens and ministries and activities and struggles of one by one, the strands start coming undone. And everything you can do like this is tying another strand, keeping those hearts together. The natural course of any relationship, your relationship with God, any relationship, is not to a stronger relationship. Without investment in it, the natural course is you have best friends you haven't talked to in years, right? Because the natural course, if you don't put intentional time to it, the natural course is to drift into your own way. And the same thing happens in our homes. Yes?
About your reading together. You know, he reads to me every single night in bed. And sometimes he's so late and so tired. And it was just one day. And then he kind of gets into it. And I do two days. But maybe you only do one page. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Oh, that's the reader. I was going to say amen. I thought. Okay. We're not going to allow her to talk anymore this morning. All right. Yes, sir. Thank you.
For us, it seems like in our marriage that sometimes we shift gears and we're not on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And so really recognizing, you know, what page she's on.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to come back to the
Lord. Yep. Past July. Oh, man. So I appreciate it. He's a pastor. I appreciate the transparency. Nobody has arrived at this. This is a lifelong journey, and it's a regular thing. You know, we talk about finding balance. We say we need to find balance in our marriage. We need to find balance in our lives. Balance is a myth. Balance is it's a constant correction. You ever see the tightrope walkers? The tightrope walkers do not walk. They have this thing that helps them keep their balance. They don't walk with that thing perfectly straight the whole way over. To stay balanced, what are they doing? They're constantly, and they're out of balance over here. I'm constantly correcting so that I can stay on the tightrope. Same thing is true in our lives. It's constant corrections. Hey, we've let that one slip over there. We're doing really well in this one, but we let that slip. We got to put a little intention over here. And that's not bad. That's everybody. And I appreciate you sharing that. Anybody else? Maybe we're right about the time I'm supposed to be dismissed. And so one or two other things. Yes. Massage. Bad knees, you said? And so that gives an opportunity for you guys to connect, obviously on a physical level, on a personal level, and just a showing of that there's some care and some attention and care for what a struggle in your life might be. Good, good. One last one. Yes, sir.
Yeah, one thing I really admire about my wife is that she would, and sometimes I kind of look down and go, oh, man, sometimes she's reading her Bible, and she seems like she's always on it, reading it, and I get trying to read my Bible. So that's one thing that I thank the Lord that I have a Christian wife.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
And sometimes I forget or get tired or mm-hmm. lazy, but you know you need to read it.
Yep.
And the Lord will remind you, but just seeing her physically mm-hmm. that she's doing that, like, try to read the Bible.
We can provoke one another to good works, can't we?
Yes.
That's a blessing. Good. Did I see one other hand? Yes.
Something that we've always done, but we're in the car together, like every week, we're going to touch him or he touches me.
Mm-hmm.
Something simple,
but mm-hmm.
it's just a good thing.
Regular acts of affection. All these are great. We could probably give a bunch more. I just wanted us to spend some time intentionally thinking about these things because I thought that was a great illustration that it starts here, it goes here, and this isn't necessarily bad, but this can lead to here. And we have to intentionally get back to here and or here. So what I'd like you to do now is maybe for the next 5 minutes or so, look through the notes, look through what we just talked about here, and you guys come up with what we had said. What is the one thing we need to get back to, we need to do a little better job of? What is the one, two, or three action items from this week? You invested, counting gas and everything, probably four, with food on the way up or back, $400 or $500 you invested for this weekend by the time you're all said and done. What are we taking away from it, other than just we had a good time in the escape room? What are we taking away from this that's going to impact our daily relationships? So I'd encourage you, spend some time talking about that, and then maybe just each of you spend a moment to pray together, and you can be dismissed. Jacob, do you need to come back up? And I know at 10:15 is brunch, is that right? We have brunch at 10:15, and we have about, it will have when we're out of here, about maybe 20 minutes or so until that. Is there anything else we need to tell everybody?
As you're packing up your cabin, go ahead and leave your plastic name tags there. If you'd like to strip your beds, that would be helpful. Other than that, you can leave the plastic, our placards and plastic name tags in there, and we'll come through and clean up after 11. And then, announcements of that brunch.
Okay. Perfect. Thanks again, Jacob, for all you did this week for us. So let's spend a few minutes let's try to come up with a couple of action items we're taking away from the retreat, and then pray and ask God to help us to implement those into our lives. And whenever you're done, you can be dismissed from here. All right. Thanks so much, folks. It's been a joy.